Blog Talk Radio.
Their job is to persuade Congress to establish a tax break
estimated to cost the U.S. government $78.7 billion over the next decade. Independent studies have found that the last time this tax bracket was tried in 2004, the bargain rate for bringing home offshore profits did little to spur hiring or domestic investment. Most of the money was used to buy back stock. This is an issue that involves a whole lot of people hired by corporations that are pushing for those corporation interests rather than the public interest, and James A. Thurber, director of the Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies at American University in Washington. Though the study found that money brought home in 2004 ended up benefiting a narrow set of shareholders, support is growing in Congress for the tax holiday as companies expand their roster of lobbyists. One case they are making is that the potential flood of cash will boost the faltering U.S. economy. Yeah, right. They're keeping it.
They're already sitting on trillions of dollars in cash.
They'll just be sitting on trillions more. Yeah. There are many issues that are very important but are complex and don't seem of great importance to the wider public. Those are the issues primed for having people who formerly worked on the Hill or executive branch intervening and making policy, Thurber said. Those with Capitol Hill connections who are lobbying for the repatriation tax break include former Louisiana Representative Jim McCree, who in 2009 was the top Republican on the U.S. House's Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee. Dina Battle, the former legislative director for that committee's current chairman, Representative David Camp, a Michigan Republican, and at least four former staffers for House Speaker John Boehner. Michael Steele, a spokesman for Boehner, an Ohio Republican, said former staff members don't influence policy. Oh, what a lying piece of shit he is. The speaker makes such decisions based on what is best for his constituents and the American people, Steele said. I can't imagine how he can say that with a state face. Regenerate the economy. Advocates for the break say a repatriation holiday would bring more than $1 trillion to the U.S. now held overseas. It wouldn't do much to regenerate the economy, said Robert Livingston, former Republican chairman of the House Appropriations Committee and speaker-designate, who is now lobbying for Oracle Company. A total of $1.5 trillion from all affected U.S. companies would go a long way to pull us out of the doldrums. Yeah, right. Right into their pockets. There are more insiders pushing for the tax holiday than those in Bloomberg News' tally, at least 60. That figure includes only registered lobbyists who work for a sitting member of Congress and disclose lobbying on the issue for the Win America campaign, the group of companies seeking the break, or for one of the companies or associations in the coalition. Win America is coordinated by SKD Knickerbocker, a Washington political consulting and public relations firm, which includes as managing director Anita Dunn, former communications director for President Obama. Dunn isn't a registered lobbyist. The list of more than 160 lobbyists include other longtime fixtures in Washington, such as former Representative Livingston, Democratic fundraiser Tony Podesta, Kenneth Keyes, former chief of staff of the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation. The proposed tax break has gained momentum in recent months with several prominent Democrats, including Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, expressing a willingness to consider the tax holiday. Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann, a House member from Minnesota, and Texas Governor Rick Perry have called on the Congress to let companies bring home offshore owner earnings at a reduced tax rate. This is such bullshit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't even know how they can write it without kafaring.
And you know, today Schumer came out saying Schumer and Reid wanted to tack on the jobs bill.
Yeah.
They wanted to tack on a 5% millionaire's tax, okay,
uh-huh,
on the jobs bill.
Yeah.
All right. So they want to tax that on.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans are refusing it.
All
right. But at the same time, they want to allow corporations to bring in $1 trillion without tax free. What the hell's with this, guys? What is with these guys? Anyway,
they're just phonies.
They're just phonies, man. Total phonies.
And Texas Governor Rick Perry have called on Congress. Yep, okay. Obama administration said it opposed to a standalone tax holiday for repatriated profits. pointing to the 2004 experience. Obama has been taking aim at tax breaks benefiting certain industries such as oil and gas and deductions and exclusions claimed by millionaires. He has embraced changes suggested by billionaire Warren Buffett, who has said he pays taxes at a lower rate than his secretary. U.S. multinational companies have amassed more than $1.375 trillion in profits overseas, of which they have paid no federal income tax, according to a recent report by J.P. Morgan Chase and Company. When the earnings are returned to the U.S. or repatriated, they are taxed at the top corporate rate of 35%, with credits for foreign income taxes paid. I don't know how that works.
Companies are pushing to reprise the 2004 holiday that allowed them to bring home offshore earnings at a low tax rate of 5.25%. Under that break, companies repatriated to the U.S. $312 billion, largely from stock repurchases rather than direct hiring or investment, according to their recent paper for Journal of Finance. The latest is a series of studies that reached similar conclusions. The proposed holiday would reward the companies that have most aggressively parked profits in tax havens such as Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, and Switzerland, said Mark Sullivan, a former Treasury Department economist and contributing editor to the Nonpartisan Tax Notes. A lot of what companies report as profit, as foreign profit, is really U.S. profit that should be subject to U.S. tax. And those earnings just didn't get overseas by accident. Many of these companies intentionally put them there to avoid paying U.S. taxes. And
Bloomberg's tallies covers individuals who are registered to lobby on the repatriation issue at some point in the first half of this year, the period for which the records are available. Some of the lobbyists have since left their firms. The figures don't include those who were listed as lobbying
on general tax issues
for companies in the Win America Coalition, except where the lobbyists confirmed to Bloomberg News that they were working on repatriation. Newer members of the revolving door community are involved, such as Daniel Mora, a lobbyist at the Republican firm of Fierce, Isaacowitz, and Blalock. It has been paid $160,000 so far this year by Oracle to lobby on a variety of tax issues. And the Win America Coalition recently hired the firm Maurer had been director of member services for Boehner, helping assign House members to committees.
And it says Baucus alumni. And all three former staffers of Baucus, the Finance Committee chairman since 2007, are lobbying on the repatriation holiday. Besides Forbes, there's Nick Giordano of Washington Council, Ernst & Young, and longtime Cisco lobbyist Microsoft has retained Timothy Punke, former advisor to Baucus on trade issues, who is active in Democratic politics. Win America Campaign's manager is Karen Olick, former chief of staff to Barbara Boxer, California Democrat. One of the spokesmen to this group is Doug Thornell, who most recently was a staffer of Chris Van Hollen, a Maryland Democrat, member of House leadership, and Dunn. Thornell and Olick are registered lobbies. So it's like,
And it's a mixture of Democrats and Republicans, so you can't say it's just one party.
They shouldn't even be allowed to have this money in foreign banks.
If they want to bring it back, well, then they should pay the American tax.
They should be forced to pay for it anyway.
Yeah.
This is the insanity of the whole thing.
I mean, how many breaks do these people get?
It's really sick. It's really a sick thing. I can't seem to make sense out of it anymore, personally. It's an excellent video, by the way. Hang on 1 second. I want to play this because it's time. It's
only 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was an excellent
About
video.
About every 15 to 20 years, we have another crisis. We call them panics. We have different names for it. For 140 years, the pattern is just unmistakable. Then we get the great. Great Depression. And coming out of the Great Depression, we put three new regulations in place. Glass-Steagall, which divides our community banks from the Wall Street investment banks, FDIC insurance, and some SEC regulations so you can invest on Wall Street and they can't cheat you too directly. For 50 years, we have no bank failures, no major crises. It works. It gets to be the early 1980s. We go with this idea of let's get rid of regulation of what happened. Late 1980s, the savings and loan crisis should have been a warning. Late 1990s, remember long-term capital management, the hedge funds should have been a warning. Early 2000s, Enron should have been a warning, but we let it go. And where do we end up? In the biggest crisis since the Great Depression.
$3.4 billion federal investment to modernize the country's outdated power grid. The money will go to 100 projects in 49 states to add automated substations, digital transformers, electric meters in homes, and other high-tech equipment to create a smart grid. We're going to create an energy superhighway, Mr. Obama said when making the announcement at Florida Power and Light, DeSoto's next generation solar energy center in Arcadia, Florida, one of the biggest solar power facilities. But the problem with this is that, you know,
they're monitoring your
they're
use.
They're going to monitor everybody's use, all right, and, you know, cut you off, whatever, you know.
That's what they're going to do.
I mean, it's total, absolute control of everybody's life. It's too much, and this is happening now. Let's just go on to this because I think it's an important article to read. Oh man, anyway, it's just losing our asses everywhere.
Yeah, well, they're so far ahead of us.
President Obama, I already said that. We're going to create an energy superhighway.
You read that?
Okay, Mr. Obama used a national televised event to promote climate change legislation in Congress that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions over time. We've heard this argument before, he said. People don't like change. They get nervous. The House has passed the legislation, and the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works began hearings Tuesday morning on the zone version. The money will be released in the forms of grants through American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The recipients will have to match the federal money with an equal amount of private investment. Administration officials said the program includes $4.7 billion in private investment, and that grants range from $400,000 to $200 million. They've got some real skin in the game here, and also makes good economic sense, Jared Bernstein, chief economist, advisor to President, Vice President Biden. For example, Baltimore Gas and Company will receive $200 million and invest $251 million of its own to install 1.1 million smart meters and the information system to manage them. The money also will go toward installing 400,000 in-home devices, including communicating thermostats and in-home displays to help consumers manage their power usage. The current system is certainly outdated. It's dilapidated. And Bernstein joined Mr. Bauer on Monday night and briefing reporters about the initiative. Projects were selected from 400 proposals. The money will be dispersed in the next 2 months. I mean, we're already in shit deep here, you know? So that's what's going on.
I thought they had those smart meters in California already. I didn't.
They have them in England, I think, now, too. That's where they're starting. And I think they put them in California. But they're having problems with this because, I mean, this is such a freaking violation, you know? Where are we here? Initiative will bring 18 million smart meters into U.S. homes and spur private investment to add an additional 22 million over the next several years. The meters, in a combination with smart thermostats, will save electricity and money by helping consumers control how they use power. They can monitor energy use to the month, week, day, or hour. And you said, Mr. Obama, and who compare the effort to overhaul the grid with what it took Americans to win World War II and to put a man on the moon. It's all hands on deck. Yeah, this guy is one piece of shit. Officials also said that the initiative will create and save tens of thousands of jobs through manufacture installation such equipment as 850 new grid sensors, 200,000 digital transformers to minimize power outages, and 170,000 smart thermostats. Such technology will help power companies find and correct service interruptions more quickly, the president said. An official said the applicant includes city developers, large utilities, and small utilities.
Mm.
But this is dangerous, folks. I mean, this is really an intrusion.
I don't really know enough about it except the little bit that I read about California
wasn't very positive. No, but they want to regulate your damned heat, you know, and electricity use, all right? And it's not the way
Obama said it was that you'd be regulating your own, but that wasn't what I understood.
No, No, that's not the way it is.
So I'd want to read more about it.
So anyway.
Police brutality.
Yeah, I don't know if this is in this country, though.
What are the, who and what are the police pepper spraying and beating the Wall Street protesters for? Do they know? Do they care? Time to put on your thinking caps, my public servant friends. First, their soon-to-disappear paycheck as funds dry up for their swollen ranks. Yes, that flat blue line, that fat blue line will become the thin blue line shortly. Why? The money is drying up. We don't have any more money for cops fighting a fake war on drugs, a fake war on horror, or any other idiot identifiable charade. No money, more money for these public servants. Second, following orders. What are the orders and who is giving them? Are the orders to pepper spray women you have penned in with plastic police line fence that the dumbass lot of you can't erect with the words right side up? Anyone following orders that are unethical and immoral will find that the wheels of justice grind slowly. Whether you wear a blue suit or a blue hair, it doesn't matter. They better be careful.
I think so. Let's see what this says. Last blog here. American's Journey. Let's see if we can get in it.
America's Journey. Following orders. Let's see. We read that. Third, donations from the political action committees and executives of Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Chase and Wells Fargo banks that received $95 billion in federal tax bailout funds account for one-fifth of the $4.3 million in campaign cash donated by commercial banking interests to the 12 super committee members. Super committee co-chairman Representative Jeb Harsling, Republican Texas, received the most money from the big banks. Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo have given Hensarling a total of $188,962 during his congressional career. Hensarling also serves as vice chair of the House Financial Service Committee and receives a total of $3.9 million from financial interests.
Crooks, man. Come on, police, get with it. The revolution is here. Keep up pepper spraying and you may show up for work to find 1,000 Guy Fawkes with pepper spray ready to hose your peepers down with. That's just human nature. This goes on a little bit, but it's like, you know, it's understandable that
people are upset.
Not only that, but I mean, you're dealing with you're going to be in that line yourself, you know, if you're, you know, these policemen.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they're going to cut public servants.
That's right. You already have. Collapse of entire global banking system is underway, signals CEO of world's largest mutual fund.
PIMCO CEO signals the collapse of an entire global banking system underway as panic-driven institutional bank runs drain French banks of nearly all their capital. PIMCO CEO tells the Financial Times that the institutional bank run on French banks has left them with as little as 1% capital against the total assets reported on their balance sheets, and institutional panic in the global financial system is underway. If this is true, we are looking at the collapse of the very foundation of the entire European banking system, which in turn means the collapse of an essential pillar of the entire global banking
system.
Banking of the global banking system. It's a banking system.
Yeah, but this is quite interesting because we didn't hear about France. France has been very quiet.
Not a word.
You know, very, very quiet.
Oh, we hear nothing. We hear nothing about what's happening in England financially.
No, not much at all. But they're not part
of the euro.
But it doesn't matter. Ever since those riots, they clamped down on those riots. They clamped down on their news too. Everything.
Yeah.
So you're not hearing a thing from a lot of these countries, except what their BBC says or something. Where are we here? Vegas. Seriously, the Europeans have been pulling their money out of banks for weeks, and so have many of the world's most important corporations. Don't be a fool and wait until the last minute to do the same. I provide complete background context to the story when it became evident that the bank run that started Greece had spread into French banks, then across Europe and even into China. Global market meltdowns, he points out to what's happening here. Excuse me. Well, officials have known about the run on European bank assets for weeks. They have failed to react, choosing to ignore repeated calls from world-renowned economists, influential money managers, investors, and even the financial leaders from various nations around the world. Instead of dealing with the crisis, officials in France and Europe responded to the calls to inject capital into the French banks with a PR campaign of denial. It appears now, based on the statement from PIMCO CEO to the Financial Times, that the assertions of French officials and banks that a capital injection wasn't needed were outright lies. And now, as the Daily Bailey reports on a news new article from Financial Times, that we are MPWPM.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. MPWPM, the collapse of the entire global system.
I don't know what that means. MPWPM. Members of Parliament?
No. So I think it has something to do with time. We are MPWPM.
Not that we are MPWPM.
Midnight past, I don't know. So I don't know.
I wish they wouldn't do that, because then if you're not in the know, you don't know what they're talking about.
Well, this is there. Unfortunately, I don't know. What's this guy, Alexander Higgins blog? But let's see what's to be clear, the right around the bank and collapse it will cause is already underway. And if it persists, the French banks will have no choice but to delever their balance sheets in a very drastic and disorderly fashion, which means forget about the plans of propping up or bailing out Greece, Ireland, Portugal, Italy, and Spain.
Huh.
In fact, such an event is happening in very drastic and disorderly fashion would trigger a Lehman-style collapse, wiping out any hope of those nations being able to pay off their debt. And the resulting financial turmoil dragged down Germany and the entire Eurozone, resulting in sovereign debt defaults in many of those nations as well. From there, the counterparty risk turns to contagion and drags down banks in Great Britain, China, and even the U.S., and resulting in the greatest economic crash in the history of mankind. The question is, will officials fess up to reality or continue to pretend the patient is not sick until he reaches the point that vitality can no longer be preserved? And finally, I'll leave you with the excerpts from the article from Zero Hedge. Head of UniCredit Securities predicts imminent end of the Eurozone and a global financial apocalypse.
Either the yes men have infiltrated Italy's biggest and most undercapitalized bank, or the stress of constant, repeated lying and prevarication has finally gotten to the very people who know their livelihoods hang by a thread. And the second the great Ponzi is unwound, their jobs, careers, and entire way of life will be gone. Such as the head of UniCredit Global Securities, Attila Zazele Berzovsky, and former chairman of the Hungarian Stock Exchange, who has written an unbelievable op-ed in the Hungarian portal index.hu, which frankly makes Alessio, BBC trader Rastani's provocative speech seem like a bedtime story. Only this time one can't scapegoat Zale Berzovsky naivete on inexperience or the desire to gain public prominence. If someone knows the truth, it is the guy at the top of UniCredit, which we expect to promptly trade limit down once we hit print. Among the stunning allegations, stunning in that an actual banker dares to tell the truth, are the following. The euro is practically dead, and Europe faces a financial earthquake from its Greek default. The euro is beyond rescue. The only remaining question is how many days the hopeless rearguard action of European governments and the European Central Bank can keep up Greek Greece's spirits. A Greek default will trigger an immediate magnitude 10 earthquake across Europe. Holders of Greek government bonds will have to write off their entire investment. The southern European nation will stop paying salaries and pensions, and automated teller machines in the country will empty within minutes. In other words, welcome to the apocalypse. But wait, there's more from Bloomberg. The impact of a Greek default may rapidly spread across the continent, possibly promoting a run on the weaker banks of weaker countries, he said. The panic escalating this way may sweep across Europe in a self-fulfilling fashion, leading to the breakup of the euro area. The ballet for the
has
just arrived in Hungary from a trip abroad and can't be reached until later today. A UniCredit official will ask not to be identified because she isn't authorized to speak to the press. Said that when Bloomberg called Budapest office to seek further comment. So, I don't know what the comment was. And now for my European readers.
And now for our European readers.
Everyone else, it's really time to panic.
Right.
Okay.
And there's more to the article, but you can go to Alexander Higgins' blog and check that one out. And read the entire.
And that was from,
Alexander Higgins.
Alexander Higgins.
Okay, blog.
I don't know about that, boy.
Yeah, it's tough.
Occupy Wall Street, a message from democracy to the plutocracy.
Let's see what that's about.
That might be interesting.
I hope it's not in Chinese. It's Chinese writing on it. This is...
tomorrow is a big day for losers. Yeah, that's when some groups plan to stage a demonstration in New York City. An online group called Occupy Wall Street is calling for thousands to, quote, flood into Lower Manhattan, set up tents, and occupy it for a few months. Now, I got nothing against this. America is all about having your voice heard, no matter how stupid that voice may be.
But I think these protesters are kind of wimpy. Have you ever been down there? No one there.
People making fun of it.
Add some dust and go down during the week and really protest when the bankers are around. Yeah. It's like I Am Legend down there. Nobody's there but some zombies left over from the night before. And these guys, it's a joke. They just want to have a party. It's like they're laying excuses trying to have Burning Man. Like, right?
I don't think so. It's more of a farce.
Yeah.
But those people up on the balconies drinking,
those were the same people when we marched in Washington for peace.
Well, no, those were the young Republicans.
I'm saying they were up on the balconies drinking.
Yeah.
And promoting war, thousands
of people were walking by and
promoting peace.
And they were yelling hippies and all this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Now, this is right before the beginning of the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And, it's a bunch of sick assholes, same kind of people. But those were young Republicans. These were Wall Street assholes.
Probably Republicans too.
Oh, sure. Well, they don't have to be. They can be Democrats today. It doesn't even matter. They're all idiots.
Part of the problem.
Yeah, they're all part of the problem.
Coming soon, robots in the sky that recognize and track you. Perhaps the idea of spy drones already makes you nervous. Maybe you're uncomfortable with the notion of an unblinking robotic eye in the sky that can watch your every move. If so, you may want to click away now, because if the Army has its way, drones won't be able to just look at what you do. They'll be able to recognize your face and track you based on how you look. If the military machines assemble enough information, they might just be able to peer into your heart.
So, crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million. The solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan.
Yeah, and they lost all the money.
No, this is another one. This is others that he gave.
Oh, another one?
Yeah. It is, if Solyndra had never happened, it's as if Solyndra never happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration is giving $737 million to Tonopah Solar, a subsidiary of California-based Solar Reserve. PCG is an investment partner with Solar Reserve. Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law happens to be the number two man at PCG.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Hey, come on, man.
These people.
Hey, Pelosi's a whore. She's just a whore. Just a whore. All right? And let's go on here a little bit.
It makes me sick to even think about it.
Oops, it's a short article. Team Obama is spending $737 million to create 45 permanent jobs. The Energy Department announced Wednesday that he has finalized a $737 million loan guarantee for Nevada Solar Project. The decision comes several weeks after California-based solar manufacturer that received a $535 million guarantee from Obama administration in 2009 filed for bankruptcy and laid off 1,100 workers, set off a firestorm in Washington. The $737 million loan guarantee will help finance construction of Crescent Dune Solar Energy Project, a 110-megawatt solar power generating facility in Nye County, Nevada. That's Reed's hometown.
Yeah.
The project is sponsored by Tonopah Solar, City of California-based solar reserve. Crescent Dunes is the latest solar project to receive a loan guarantee from the Energy Department in recent weeks. The department announced a $1.2 billion loan guarantee to Obengoa Solar for a solar generation project in California and a $150 million guarantee to 1366 Technologies for a Massachusetts solar manufacturing project earlier this month. And the Energy Department says the project will result in 600 construction jobs and 45 permanent jobs. That's nothing. They're going to spend a $1 billion for 45 permanent jobs.
Their cronies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it just sucks. It sucks beyond anything. Something else here.
But don't be afraid to say revolution.
Yeah. U.S. elite to survive Occupy Wall Street? Question mark. The anti-corporatism protesters that have not been anywhere in mainstream media, despite having occupied Wall Street for nearly 2 weeks now, claim to be the 99% that will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption, the 1%. The U.S. Although the above-mentioned figures might not be exactly correct, they do suggest the land of the free, the home of the brave, to be an unequal society. In fact, as explained by Professor George William Donner, author of the book Who Rules America, the top 1% of U.S. population owned 42.7% of all available financial wealth in 2007. The next 19% owned 50.3%. while the remaining 80% shared a tiny 7% of country's financial wealth. Is that freaking sick or not?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I mean, 80% own 7% of the country's wealth. Well, hello.
They'll survive. The U.S. elite will survive. They have all the money.
In fact, let's see.
Explained by Professor George Williams.
No, I already said that. To take an already gloomy picture worse, make a picture worse, the Great Recession only commenced in the end of 2007. And since then, the haves and the haves mores have been hovering in wealth like a vacuum cleaner. Meanwhile, a recently released U.S. Census Bureau report revealed poverty in the land of the free has, for a fourth consecutive year, increased.
Yeah.
A further showed that 15.1% of citizens in the world's largest free market economy in 2010 lived below the country's poverty threshold. That's some 46.2 million U.S. citizens. Another report released by the Children's Defense Fund showed that 15.6 million children below the age of 10 lived on food stamps in 2009. In addition, 6.9 million children lived in extreme poverty. Their families of four had a total income half of the country's poverty line. Interestingly, a number of countries in the world have in the past 2 years witnessed peaceful demonstrations, riots, and in some cases revolutions against an elite which seems pocketing all the wealth available, leaving little or nothing for the man in the street. And all the demonstrators want is a more equal society. While this type of anti-government demonstrations have, until the emergence of the Occupy Wall Street movement, not been much of a concern for the elite in the U.S., the gap between the rich and poor in this ever-so-democratic and equal society have been far worse than in the countries which have recently experienced turmoil. Isn't that interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The CIA World Factbook tells us that the U.S. falls behind all European Union countries that have in the past 2 years been the scene of anti-government demonstrations. The level of inequality in the U.S. is so extreme that it even falls behind countries like pre-revolution Tunisia, Egypt, and even Yemen. Holy Christ! So the Occupy Wall Street movement, which began the 17th of September, should really not have come as a surprise to anyone. In fact, even before the anti-corporate protests began, New York billionaire Mayor Michael Bloomberg warned the U.S. that its dire economic situation, riots might erupt. You have a lot of kids graduating college and can't find jobs. That's what's happened in Cairo. That's what's happened in Madrid. And you don't want those kind of riots here. That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
Riots, really?
They're going to get tired of being peaceful after a while.
It says, riots, really? Is that what the awakening in Europe and Arab world is to the elite? It sure does seem so. So the question that comes to mind is, how hard will the 1% in the U.S. try to order to stop the 99% of the truly waking up? A movement like this will indeed have a hard time managing to stay alive, despite their existence being in a country that loudly boasts about being the front runner of democracy, humanity, and freedom of speech. And so while the protesters have been peaceful, the New York Police Department has cracked down on them even since their rally began. In addition, mainstream media have either intentionally or unintentionally failed to cover much important event. The average American who derives his news principally from television would have no idea that this protest movement, Occupy Wall Street, is taking place. James Fenton, the founders of Scholars for 9/11 Truth.
Yeah.
And apparently, it is too threatening to corporate interests to acknowledge it. Therefore, the protesters have virtually remained non-existent to U.S. mainstream media, despite their rally having been attended by famous individuals such as Lupe Fiasco and Immortal Technique. In all due respect, this was written about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
So this particular article on Press TV. Since then, the mainstream has been starting to cover it. All right.
Not real. They've acknowledged it.
They're acknowledging it.
I wouldn't say they're covering it.
They're acknowledging it.
They're showing 2 seconds of it on the mainstream media.
But that it exists. And people have had to simply rely.
People have had to rely on alternative news to receive information about the movement. Sarah Flounders, co-director of the International Action Center, noted people were able to video this with their cell phones, so the examples of police brutality were here for all the world to see. It was young people who were able to get the message out right away. The NYPD's brutality have included razzing the tents of the protesters, disrupting their gatherings, using pepper spray to disperse them, and arresting more than 100. Actually, they arrested more than 700.
Well, this weekend, this was like Friday.
They've been arresting a lot of people. One of the protesters said, adding that the Constitution gives us the right to peacefully assemble, the right to not be searched, seized, and arrested without a warrant, and they don't respect the Constitution anymore.
If their brutality comes as no surprise to Ms. Flounders. Well, in fact, it happened all the time for blacks and Latino youths in the U.S. It's standard operating procedures for the police. And the U.S. has the largest prison population in the world, 10 times the size of most countries. But it's rare that police attack primary white youths in broad daylight and in public streets. Does the silence of the media, together with the police brutality and the mass arrests, show a fear among the elites in the U.S. that they might, in fact, be on the verge of losing their power? It seems, however, that this time the elite might have troubles containing the country's protest against the elite. In less than a week, another movement called October 2011 will occupy Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. That's coming up. Yeah, that's coming up on the 10th, I believe. But this is a wave of people demanding real democracy.
Mm-hmm.
We're demanding that violence and wars and the huge amount of money that is being spent on war, our tax dollars, stops, and that the money go to people's needs, not corporate needs. Go to human needs, not corporate greed, said Tarakov, one of the organizers for the October 2011 movement.
Well, one of the things they're going to have to change is the fact that the Supreme Court recently voted that corporations have the same rights as people.
But they're going to try to overturn that.
I hope that has to
be overturned that by Congress.
I hope that gets repealed.
Maybe it will. You know, Congress is the only one who can do it.
That was devastating, I think.
Oh, that's horrible. Euro, burning building with no exits. Yeah, the euro is on its way out the door, too.
Italian Treasury plans to sell state assets. We already sold ours.
I know. They already, okay, let me just see if there's anything else on
this
page.
What's that one right there? What? Go up to the video.
What?
People are getting more and more what?
Speedwise. As David, I got some more stuff here. Just 1 second.
Arm cell protests Boston veterans.
Yeah, we played that the other night.
Yeah, that was good.
I
enjoyed it. Bankers torpedoed financial system, veteran trader says.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this was the one I wanted to check out.
Sanctions cut the globalists off from humanity, capitalized profit, corporate crime.
No, that was not.
You can't tax your way out of a crisis, that's the Greeks, Al-Qaeda. Well, Ron Paul got up and talked about the fact that supposed Al-Qaeda leader, who was an American citizen, was bombed and supposedly they killed him.
Yeah.
He felt that was an unlawful act and a criminal act.
That's right.
That the guy was an American citizen and should have been indicted and tried before.
Yeah, he was right on that.
And he said, what's going to happen if people don't like something you're doing? Do they send a drone over your house and drop it on you?
Now, here are the French who are losing their asses. We just noticed, we just read that all their banks are being liquidated. But yet they have the balls to say France threatens military action against Iran. The French envoy to the UN has warned Iran that it risks a military strike if it continues pursuing its nuclear program. If we don't succeed today to reach a negotiation with the Iranians, there is a strong risk of military action. Now, this was on September 29th when this particular article was written. That Ambassador Gerard Araud said on Tuesday during a panel discussion in New York headquarters. In response, we will abstain from imposing more sanctions, both at the UN Council and unilaterally, the diplomat said in a CNN interview. The strike, he said, would be a very complicated operation, would have disastrous consequences in the region. All the Arab countries are extremely worried about what is happening. But France threatens military action. I mean,
who do they think they are?
Piss-ass country, you know? Now, it's like, come on. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, who are we to say that, huh? Let's go on to the next one. I wanted to bring us up today. We only got about a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So much news going on. It's unbelievable.
Well, these are important times.
Gold is backed by nothing, unlike the U.S. dollar. Most moronic TV news journalists ever. Gold is backed by nothing.
Well, dollars are backed by the government.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's see. This is...
Tracy Chapman, talking about a revolution.
That's the song, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good thing to play. Mm-hmm. EPA regulations would require what? Would require 230,000 new bureaucrats. Oh, great.
Yeah. Administer at a cost of $21 billion. Over 6 million businesses will be subjected to regulations. Now we know what Obama's job program is all about. These paper-pushing jobs grow the administrative state and come at a high cost to taxpayers. They burden the economy rather than add the value. Yeah. It's questionable to EPA really needs to be, you know, but what happened was is under Bush, they wiped out all those jobs.
Yeah.
You know, the EPA was reduced to nothing. And now we can check this out.
The bankers are a problem.
FBI, terrorist plot against the capital region.
All kinds of stuff going on.
Just unbelievable.
U.S. activists to occupy Los Angeles. I think they did that.
Yeah, they already did that. I'm a threat to national security.
Am I a threat?
And, let's see.
Revolution is happening in the USA.
You want to go out with that one?
Well, I think that's what we've been saying all along. And it's just, they were more recent articles, that's all.
Well, this is the most recent.
Well, we just read some of them.
Let's see.
What's that right there? You went by it. There's an audio piece there.
Yeah, it's some kind of little joke.
David Icke. Okay. CIA and Pentagon assets. The mind of the occupier, Palestinians accused U.S. After 200 million in aid is cut off. The freeze on funds, which has been unpublicized, was reportedly put into place in August ahead of Mr. Abbas's planned bid at the UN on September 20th. The funds were said to have been allocated earlier in the financial year, which ends today. It is another kind of collective punishment, which is going to harm the needs of the public without making any positive contribution. Palestinian Authority spokesman Ghassad Katib that told The Independent. He told the newspaper it's ironic to be punished for going to the United Nations.
Right. There's a little more to this. So let me go. I'll end with this one. Mm-hmm.
This is from The Telegraph.
Yeah. Here we go. The Obama administration is reportedly negotiating.
What happened there?
I lost part of it.
Go up there.
This is one of these European websites there. Okay.
The Obama administration is reportedly negotiating with congressional leaders over unlocking the aid. The White House has reportedly also urged Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to keep aid flowing to the Palestinians. Yeah, right. The congressional threat to cut off aid has previously been dismissed as political grandstanding. Everybody knows the U.S. Congress is the most pro-Israel parliamentary body in the world, former President Bill Clinton told ABC News recently. They don't have to demonstrate that. U.S. aid has already begun to wind down in operations in the West Bank and Gaza, and Western aid sources fear the agency could have to shut down all humanitarian work as well as distribution of budgetary support to the Palestinian Authority by January. There are fears that any major cutoff in aid could prompt a crisis in the Palestinian security forces who have kept the peace in the West Bank for many years, rounding up Hamas militants and others considered undesirable. Security cooperation with the Palestinians is excellent at the moment, and we do not want to jeopardize that, a senior official close to Israeli armed forces said.
Yeah. So anyway,
so that's
you cut off the dough, and it's goodbye.
And we'll have uprisings there as well.
There won't be any reason, there won't be any need for there won't be anything for them to fight with for. They're not getting paid. Screw that. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Appreciate you bearing in there. Hope you enjoyed what we had to show to read to you.
I don't know how enjoyable it was, Leo,
but it keeps people informed. Anyway,
there's certainly a lot happening in the world, and I also would like to end by saying I really am impressed by the people who are standing up in this country, and I'm very proud to be American at this point because they are
proud to be a rabble rousing American. Right.
I don't consider them rebel rousing. I consider them people who are standing up for
what
is right.
That's what you gotta do. Nothing down on them.
I wouldn't classify it that way. Against the criminals that are running this country.
Yeah.
And truth speaking.
And we've been trying to do that for 10 years now, radio and television, that's what we've got to do. We've been at all these protests. We've done all these documentaries. We've done all these reports.
I realize
I'm glad. I'm so
that
glad.
That people are standing up.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
It's about time.
And it's great. And it's young people.
And old people.
Good
and everybody
for them.
Now. Everybody's involved
now. But it was
now.
Started by a group of younger people.
I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight and continue to join us. And to join me tomorrow night on Thursday and Friday night with George Dixon.
And good night, folks.
All right. And good night, everybody. Good night.